deserve it more.
And the honor, Lord, we lift our hands.
like you, Lord? Who is like the Lord? There's no one like Jesus. Who is like the Lord? Who can save your soul? Who can touch your mind? Who can heal your body? Who can minister to your family? Who can take a bad thing and turn it into a good thing? There's nobody like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Is anybody thankful to be in the house of the Lord today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're so thankful for our speaker today. Brother Matthew Tuttle is, where were you born, Brother Tuttle? Okay, that's right. He was born in Portland, Oregon, and has lived just about everywhere else since then. For a while, they were in missions work in the Netherlands, in Holland, and they were youth pastors in Indiana, I believe, for a time, and then an evangelist based out of Texas. He served on the Texas District Youth Committee with us while we were there in leadership, and now he's pastoring a great church in the city of Vidor, Texas, just in the Beaumont, Texas area, and a great revival church. They're having great revival and growing, and we're just excited that he's able to be here, and he's brought his family here. They'll be here in a few minutes, but that we've had a great couple of services. And for all of you that have not been here yet, I believe that the Lord is going to use him in a mighty way, just as he has on Friday night and on Saturday night. And so we want to tune in to what God has for us today. Amen. We want the Lord to have his way. And I believe that the Lord has ordered our steps. I believe he has directed us here today, and he wants to accomplish some things that will be great for this church and great for Springfield and great for 2018. The Lord knows what he's doing, so let's just let God have his way. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't we welcome Brother Tuttle? Let's just ask the Lord to have his way as he comes right now in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother McCoy. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Thank you for his sweet spirit. I sure love, I don't know if this is your regular praise team or the youth praise team or whatever it is, but I'm sure enjoying it and enjoying these. I love seeing young people, amen, worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord. So many other places, and the enemy is attacking them, but here they are in the house of the Lord. And parents, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, I'm telling you what, there's no greater joy. You know, John was the only disciple that remained at the cross. He's the first disciple that made it to the empty tomb. He had a basket of bread. He was there on the and witnessed the great miracles of the Lord. But at the end of it all, he said, I have no greater joy. Nothing makes me happier than to know that my children are walking in the truth. And I tell you what, I think as parents here today at Harvest Ministries, you could be thankful. Thankful that your children are in the truth. And so what an honor. And that's, of course, is because of great home life and because you have great leadership at a church, a place where you can bring them. And I honor your bishop, I honor your pastor, and all of you. Church doesn't just happen by accident, you know. It's someone got here this morning and opened the doors, made sure the building was clean, cleaned the toilets for us. And I'm thankful that all happened, amen. And lots of times they give me an applause for coming, and all I did was come into a building that was prepared. And so I want to thank you. We're all in this together, amen. I said we're all in this together, and great will be our reward. I can't wait to get to heaven. You can be seated. I love your pastor so very much. There was a psychologist that did a research on stressful jobs, and he was a non-believer, and came to the conclusion, and after study, that the most stressful job in the world, the second most stressful job in the world, actually, is that of President of the United States of America. And the first one would be to be a pastor. There's no employment or job that has a greater burnout or higher burnout rate than that of a pastor. Because you think of it, the aspect of it, the business, it's a 24/7 on-call, a duty and a responsibility that weighs. And then on top of that, you intensify that with the spiritual dynamics where hell is coming against them. And it's a continual a battle, struggle. And so a pastor, and then I always say the release of a pastor is the pulpit, though. It's nice when you can get up and preach and you can release and feel that anointing of God come on you, amen. And so as a pastor, we have to have that. But a pastor's wife does not get that. And so I really feel like a pastor's wife probably has one of the most intense jobs in all of the world. And so be mindful of that with your new pastor and carry, just, you know, lift them up in prayer. They need that. Amen. And I know you do. The times that I've talked to Brother McCoy, I'm going to tell you what, I didn't think he would ever leave Texas. This is a Texan right here with a name like McCoy. But he came to Spring. I said, man, what on earth? You're going to Missouri, man? It's cold up there. And he said, well, you've got to meet the people at Harvest Ministries. He said, these people have just captured our hearts. And so I'm going to tell you how awesome it is to have a pastor that loves you as much as this man loves you. And no greater thing to have a shepherd. Amen. So I'm thankful for him. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And amen. And then I'll read verse 21, 22, 23, and 24 in your hearing. And today, apologize, my voice isn't real strong this morning, so I'm trying to take it easy. But talk to you just this morning, hopefully something that'll encourage you. And once again, help you see the value of who you are in the kingdom of the Lord. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And the Lord, and then let's skip to verse 21 just for the sake of time. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Amen. And we can stop right there. Here in verse 18, the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Helpmeet. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about that. The helpmeet of God. The helpmeet. Amen. I want to just talk to you. You know what I'd like you to do? Just take your finger and point at yourself. Amen. There you go. There you go. Amen. I believe the Lord's going to... You know, it's interesting right now. 99.9% of you are pointing your fingers at your chest. I identify you by your face, but you identify yourself by your heart. And so God's going to talk to you, the inside of you. Amen. Because you know the real you is not this. Because this can smile while this is broken. You know what I'm talking about? So right now you're pointing at this because this is where God's going to talk to us today. Amen. Father, so right now take that finger and turn it into a palm and just lay it on that place where you've been pointing. Father, I pray that you touch my heart today and speak to me through your word. I know that you have all things in control and you do them well. Not by happenstance or chance, or luck or coincidence have we gathered here together as one body, but coming from different lifestyles, cultures, places, countries, you've brought us together for such a time as this. Anoint me now to deliver your word to these people that they might leave changed and I might be transformed by the power of your word in the wonderful name of Jesus. And collectively we say in Jesus' name, thank you for standing. You can be seated. God can do, I believe that God can do absolutely anything. Now come on, we practice this Friday night. I said God can do anything. Nothing is impossible. He can take a lowly man and rise him up to great, great power. He can take great men and bring them low. He has the power to do absolutely anything. As I said last night, my mother was not supposed to have children, and he healed my mother. I remember as a 15-year-old boy, there was a man, Dick Verdonk, started coming to our church. He was deaf, and I prayed for him one Sunday. I was just a teenager, prayed for him one Sunday. Next Monday, he called me up. He said, Matt, guess what I'm doing? I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm talking on the telephone. I said, well, that's great. He said, no, you don't understand. I've never talked on the telephone because I've never been able to hear out of my ears. And I said, wow, awesome. And I'm going to tell you, young people, there's nothing greater than being a Christian. And the devil tries to tell you it's cool to live for hell. But, you know, I went into the mall once in Holland. There's these gangster guys hanging out around the door, you know, smoking a joint with their pants halfway around their ankles. And I said, y'all think y'all pretty, something just came over me, you know. And I said, y'all think you're pretty cool, don't you? And they're like, they just kind of looked at me, you know. I said, smoking your joints and doing your stuff. I said, but let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a blinded eye open? Have you ever seen something? They're like, they're just looking at me like I'm stupid. I said, well, I have. I said, I've seen people that were blind get healed. I said, I've seen people that were lame walk. I've seen people that are deaf hear. I said, let me tell you something. You're not cool. I'm cool. Young people, you're cool. You got stories, and you can have stories that the world can't. It's science. They have to make movies with special effects to create what is our reality. That's awesome. That's our reality. To them, it's fiction. To us, it's reality. Dead people getting up. Come on, somebody. Tell me this ain't the best life. We have a God, and he's all powerful. He's all powerful. He has all powerful. When I was pastoring in Dordrecht, the Netherlands, the influx of Islam there is overwhelming in Europe. Islam has almost captured Europe as a whole. And so they would send their different imams or whatever to our church. And I remember one Sunday, they would come, they were walking, there were several of them in their white robes walking around the church. And they'd been doing it for several weeks. And every time they'd come while we were having church, we had glass windows in the side of the building. You'd see them walking around, and it would just create a heaviness in the building. And so I started pastoring there when I was 29, and I didn't really know what to do. You know, I was just kind of new at the whole thing. And finally, I just got irritated, and I said, we've got a name greater than their name, than the name of Mohammed. I said, what we're going to do? I said, everybody stand. I said, open up all those windows. So they went by and opened all the tops. I said, we're going to start shouting the name Jesus. I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sick and tired of it being tight as a drum in here. I said, crank the volume up as loud as you can. I said, let's go. We counted down. We started shouting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And all of a sudden, the power of God fell in that building. We looked out the window. Those men were looking in our building, and then they literally ran away from the building, and we never saw them again. Isn't that awesome? Within the next 5 months, I baptized the son of an imam. Then I baptized two more Muslim young men in the name of Jesus Christ. Then I baptized the daughter of an imam from Africa, and then her two children, and all within 5 months. And he became my head usher, and she became a hostess at the door. Amen? All because there was somebody that said, there's a name that's greater than any other name. And I'm thankful, young people, that we know that name, the name. You need not fear. You need not be distressed, because we serve a God who is all-powerful. And this all-powerful, deaf-healing, lame healer, way-maker, Jesus' name, devil-casting out name, he knows right where you are. He's here right now. This God, this all-powerful, unchanging, awesome God is here with you. He doesn't know how many hairs are on your head right now. The Bible says he's numbered the hairs of your head. That means he has chronological numbering systems for your hair, meaning he knows not how many are on your head right now. He knows how many you've had from the day you were born. And come on, that means he knows number. He's got a number for the number of hairs laying in the drain right now. He's like, oh, that's 1,137,000,000 that's just floating down the river. And he's got his eye on that little hair floating down the river somewhere right now. And you're worried about whether or not you can make it. And you're questioning about if he knows where you're at. Hey, if he has a chronological numbering system for the hairs on your head, you don't have to worry that he knows where you're at today. He knows Harvest Ministries. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're feeling. He knows the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the good, the bad. He knows. He knows. He knows. That's the kind of God we serve. However, in all of that, in all of our revelation of his power, and the clarity of understanding of his knowledge of us and love for us, I'll say something today that I hope you'll you'll bear with me as I try to expound upon it and bring clarity to this statement that will come as somewhat of a shock to you, because this all-powerful, can-do-anything, absolutely almighty God, there are some times that he is not enough. Nobody said amen to that. And the truth is, I didn't say that, but he said that. He said that. And there is nowhere where his power, or what we're calling this insufficiency, is revealed more than in creation. God said, let there be light. What happened? There was light. And then God said, that's awesome. That's how you know a man is creating the image of God, because we like to talk about how good we are. But even God talked about how good he was. Amen. That's a God thing. Every once in a while, you got to look in the mirror, dudes, and just be like, I'm pretty amazing. And y'all have all done that. Am I right? Most of you this morning looked in the mirror and were like, whoo, man, I'm looking good today. Come on now. You're laughing because you know it's true. Hey, everyone, if God, David had that ability to encourage himself. David, God said, you know what? I did good. And every once in a while, the devil, he condemns you continually. Every once in a while, you got to look at yourself and say, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I made it to Bible study at 12 o'clock on Sunday. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. He said, I'm good. And I always tell ladies, I'm like, man, if you want to get your husband to do something, just tell him how good they are. You know, it's the truth, ain't it, Brian? I'd be like, you know, stop whining about how he don't pick up the shoes and just start talking about how great he is at picking up shoes. All of a sudden, he'll start picking up shoes. It's amazing. You can manipulate a man. It's easy. Oh, baby, I love the way you grill steak. Next thing you know, he's out there in the snow grilling you a steak just because you're talking about how good he is. Men like to hear how good they are. And you know what? God likes to hear how good he is. And you can get a man to move just by praising him for what? Am I right, ladies? Do I have any experienced ladies in the house? God's the same way. You can begin to praise him for what you want, and all of a sudden he says, well, if you're going to praise me for healing, I'm going to have to be a healer. If you're going to praise me for deliverance, I've got to be a healer. That's how he works. That's how he works. He's like that. He's good like that. He creates earth just by his voice. He didn't have anything to work with. He just him and nothing. And out of nothing, he made everything you can see. Someone came to me and said, preacher, there's no way God can do anything with me. I've got a broken heart. I said, he made the whole world without anything. What do you think he could do with some pieces of stuff? Come on, well, my mind's blown on drugs. God can't. Hey, if he can make the world out of nothing, guess what he could do with a blown mind on drugs? Man, woo! What could he do with a marriage that's been broken? What could he do with a child that's been hurt? I tell you what he could do. He could change the world with just one person that says it might be broken, but it's available. He creates these great lights by day and a lesser night light by night. Man is created on the sixth day, and he says, man, I'm good. I've done really, really good. And he creates this place, Eden, puts rivers in it and fills it with precious metals and stones and a perfect climate, mist that would dew, that would water the grass. And he takes man and breathes the breath of life, and man wakes up inside the presence of the Lord. Everything else in creation is covered. The fowl of the air covered with feathers. The fox of the field is covered with fur. But man is covered in the presence of the Lord. Known only God was what he knew. It was who he was. It was there for him. And it was awesome as we look at the relationship that Adam had with the Lord. It was daily that he came. And how awesome that God woke him up and said, hey, bud, let's talk. That don't happen for you. I know some of you think preachers, angels wake us up every day. That ain't the truth. An alarm clock wakes me up, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I got to get up. And I got to set an alarm, and I've got to force my flesh to go pray. Anybody be honest and say, that's me, preacher, because I don't want to, amen. But how cool, my flesh don't want to, and how cool that God would come by and just kick him in the rib or whatever he did, shake him a little and say, come on, bud, let's go for a walk. And he initiated this relationship. It was initiated by God. And they would walk together in the cool of the day. And there's a relationship with God without sin hindering this relationship, without any kind of obstruction between God and man. It's awesome because Adam is walking in his relationship with God. And nowhere does Adam say, I'm not happy. Nowhere does Adam say, I'm so alone. Nowhere does Adam say, I really need somebody. No. God, we read it together in the 18th verse there. God looks down and says, I did a lot of things good, but there's one thing that's not good. He said, I did a lot of things really good. I'm a really good God, but there's one thing that's not good. He said, it is not good that Adam be a what? But hold on, how can Adam be alone if he's got God? Because I've been told my whole life, if I have God, I've got everything I need. But God said that's not true. God said, you've got me without sin obstructing that relationship. And even with me, it's not enough. It's pretty astounding, isn't it? And so he said, I'm going to create for you a helpmeet. He said, I'm going to create someone that is like you. And so Adam lays himself down, and scripture says there's a deep sleep. That's quiet. Men can sleep, amen. And puts him to sleep. And next thing you know, he's awake, and there is the woman. And scripture says that he looks at her and says, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Isn't that romantic? You know what I mean? That puts that in a British accent with some cool lyrics, and that's just romantic. Put that on a Hallmark card. Oh, babe, come on. It wasn't for romance that she was created. It was for companionship and fellowship. It's crazy here, and God is saying there's times when my presence will not be enough. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a help. I'm going to give you a help. And this word help is used in a very powerful way. For the word help is used in the same way in which God interjects himself into David as a little shepherd boy with a slingshot. And he takes that one little rock and kills a great giant. It is the same way that God helped Gideon, 300 men versus 120,000 Midianites, the helper. That's God interjecting himself into our lives when there would be a time. He said there'll be a time when it's not the cool of the day and you don't know where I'm at and you can't feel me. He said, but I'm going to give you a helper, Brother McCoy, so that you can reach over and there's a physical something like you that represents me to let you know you're not by yourself. You're not alone. You can make it through the storms of life. And so it is that every time Eve would reach out and put her hand on Adam's arm, she would let him know, hey friend, you're not by yourself. You're not in this by yourself. We're in this together. God gave me something. God gave me someone to let me know that when I don't have the divine visitation of God, when I don't have goosebumps, he said, I'm going to give you a person. He said, I'm going to give you a person, Adam. So when you don't have chill bumps and you're not rolling on the floor speaking in tongues, that you'll still know you're not by yourself. I don't, as I said last night, question him in the things eternal. I know and I'm confident of my salvation. I'm confident that if the rapture were to take place at this moment, and I believe it could, that I would be levitated from this place and I'd be changed and transformed because I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in another tongue, because I'm striving for sanctification, I'm purifying and holiness and righteousness, and so it is, I'm confident of those things. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved, and I understand how someone can get saved. This gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection, I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. I can explain it. I can teach it. I can preach it. However, while I understand that side, I must be honest and say I don't always understand God. I don't, as his reasonings and ways are higher than my ways and things that he does. As I said the other night,
They sometimes are confusing to me. Does anybody here say, I've got the answers to everything God does in the world? Can you just wave your hand at me, because I want to take you out for a steak dinner. I've yet to meet. I have them twice last week. A lady came up to me. She lost her sister. Great, great, great lady. She's 51 years old. Died just suddenly, unexpectedly. She comes up to me and says, Pastor, why did she die? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why it happened. And so many times I have to look at people hurting with tears in their eyes. And I have to say, friend, I don't understand him. And there are going to be things, young people in Harvest Ministries, that will happen in your life. And if you've got God in this box, it's going to leave you frustrated and bitter at God. You're going to get upset, because there will come a time where you say, God, I don't know where you're at. And I've been taught my whole life that I'm supposed to pray and feel goosebumps this day. And I've prayed and I didn't feel goosebumps. I asked for a check and I didn't get a check. Where are you, God? And because you've got God in this box, now they're bitter at God and they're mad at God because God didn't show up like they had been told their whole lives he would show up. And I know this maybe, I know I'm not supposed to say stuff like this, but if you've been through what I've been through, you know it's the truth. Because the truth of the matter is, there's times you pray and you don't get goosebumps. I know we can't shout to that. Nobody, y'all are too spiritual to even bob your heads. But just for the new converts, let me tell you the truth of the matter. There'll be times when you ask God and God seems a million miles away. And you'll come to the church and pray and the prayers will go up to that ceiling and bounce back down. And heaven's brass and it all seems. And you're wondering, why am I even going on? It is in those moments in your life when you can't feel God. And they'll come and you'll wonder where he is and why he hasn't answered you. And it's been 3 weeks and I haven't felt a goose pimple. It's been 6 months and I don't even know if God knows my name anymore, and you've forgotten the whole he numbered my hair speech, and you know it, but yet you wonder where he is. And so God said, he said, you know what, Harvest Ministries, I'm going to give you a helpmeet. He said, I'm going to give you a physical representation, a physical manifestation of something where you can find me when you can't feel me, where you can see me when you don't know where I'm at. He said, I'm going to give you a helpmeet, just like I gave Adam a helpmeet. He said, it's not good for you to be alone, for it's not always the cool of the day. Sometimes it's the heat of the battle. And in the heat of the battle, where God is a million miles away, he said, there's something I've given you that lets you know you're not by yourself. Preacher, tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. What's the helper? What's my helpmeet? Because I know what you're talking about. Let me introduce them to you. Are you ready to meet the helpmeet? Are you ready? Harvest Ministry, here's what I need you to do. I want you to look to your left right now. Look quickly to your left. Now look to your right. I've just introduced you to God's helpmeet for you. It's called his bride or his body. It's called the church of the living God. It is a physical representation of him in the world, so that when you can't feel God, you can come on. I've come to tell you that the church you're a part of is more than people that have the same theological ideas and enjoy the same style of music. But you are the helpmeet of God. Your hands are his hands when he's a million miles away and he seems so far. It's your prayer. It's your hallelujah. It's your amen. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever stood in the altar? Have you ever stood in the altar and God's felt a million miles away? And you're praying, God, I just need to feel you, and you don't feel nothing. Then all of a sudden, you don't know who it was, but some little hand just came and laid their hand right in the small. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, something came over you and you realized, I'm not, or you came in low and you didn't know how you're going to make it. And some brother just grabbed you and wrapped his arms around you and said, man, you can make it. You're gonna, and something came in you and you said, I can make it. Because you're the helpmeet of God. And that is why You cannot stay at home when we have church. See, because you don't just come to church to get fed. You come at church to be the body. And it could be very well be that that's why when altar call comes forth, you don't ever stay in your seat. What are you talking about? Because it's your hand that's needed on the back of somebody discouraged. And, well, I just didn't get anything out of the sermon. Yeah, but there's a little girl up there. And if you would just lay your hand. You're driving down the road. God gives you a name. You say, well, I don't know if that's God or the devil. I was just, Pastor, I had someone ask me, Pastor, a brother, he said, you know, God put this brother's name in my heart. I was at work. He said, I thought maybe I should text him and just encourage him, but I didn't know if it was God or not. I said, well, I promise you it wasn't the devil. But have you ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden just, bam, a name gets in your mind? You know what I'm talking about? You're just laying in bed, name hits you. You think that's an accident? No. That's God using you as the helpmeet of God. And you don't say, well, what do I say? You just, oh, you get up and you start praying for him. You send him a text and say, I'm praying for you. And I promise you, when it arrives to that place, it'll be more than you realize, because God will, he'll get in it like he did with Shammah defending a bean patch. And he'll take that little text message. He'll take that little hand. He'll take that hug. And he'll turn it into something great. You're the church. We're the church. We're the helper of God. That's why hell tries to divide us. That's why you had a struggle just getting to church here this morning. Because, yeah, we need God. But the truth is, God needs you. He needs us. I don't tell my story many places. But I, as I said, as you know, in the introduction remarks, I was raised in the Netherlands. And then we moved home. I actually have five children. My second daughter passed away after one day in my wife's arms and died. It was a very difficult time in our lives. And then we moved to the Netherlands. And three of the of my five children were born in the Netherlands. And our fourth daughter, Eden, was born there. We didn't know at the time. But when she was born, she had Down syndrome. Obviously, it came as a shock. After they did echoes on her heart, they discovered there were multiple holes in her heart. And so they said, we're going to have to do open heart surgery on your daughter. Well, I went to prayer because my whole life I've been told God's a healer. Matter of fact, I've prayed for people. God has healed their hearts. And I'd prayed for my other daughter. She had died. Now I've got a daughter with holes in her hearts and Down syndrome, and I'm praying for her. Well, the holes aren't being put back together, and the doctor says we think she can make it to 3 months. And if she could make it to 3 months, she'd be stronger and be able to survive the surgery. And so we waited for 3 months. And at the third month, we went into the hospital, and I remember the night before the surgery, the surgeon came to us and he had this long piece of paper about all the risk, and the percentage of death was fairly high and all the stuff, and you have to sign this paper. And I signed the paper, and I couldn't spend the night there. And so I went home. The next day I headed back to the hospital. For some reason, the surgery had to be postponed another day. Well, I had to go back to the house to get something for Michelle, and I'm on the mission field, and we're 4 years in to a 1 year commitment. I had committed to go to the mission field just for 1 year. I'd raised $40,000 because that's what it cost for four years for 1 year, and we had stretched $40,000 4 years. We were living on peanuts, and I had a Volkswagen van that was 4-cylinder diesel with manual transmission, no heat, no air. I'd sold a beautiful home a mile from my in-laws, a swimming pool and Dairy Queen and P.F. Chang's, and living the life in America. I had a great ministry. I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you, this is my story. I'm driving my Volkswagen van, 5,000 miles away from everybody I know and love, in a country where it rains every day. 80% of the time it rains, the weather's cold. I never wanted to go back. I was just there because I'd been obedient to my pastor who told me I needed to go. We'd had revival. People were being healed. We'd baptized at that point right at 500 people. Started 3 churches. And amazing. And in my van, driving down the road, all of a sudden I couldn't see the road anymore. And I got so mad. And I said, God, so this is how you take care of people that sell their homes and fly across the sea and say goodbye to their families. This is how you treat people that give everything for the sake. I said, and you healed that girl that's addicted to cocaine and put their family. I said, and then you're going to do this to my baby. First, you got to kill one of my babies. And now you're going to do this. I said, I don't know what you're doing. I said, I don't understand. I don't understand what you're doing. I said, I'm upset. Why me? You know, anybody ever said, why me? I know you can't be real honest because you got a facade, but nobody knows me here, so I can be honest. Because the truth is every single one of you have been frustrated at a God that was supposed to be everything, but yet he seemed to leave you disappointed. And I turned my car off the road, took the exit, and there's a McDonald's. When I get sad, I eat. And I eat unhealthy. I thought, you know what, let's speed up the dying process. Hopefully this quarter pounder with extra grease will kill me quickly, because death would be better than this. So I ordered the quarter pounder menu and a strawberry milkshake with an extra cheeseburger and a chocolate sundae. I'm going all in. Now, if I was Lee Stone King, angels would have already been at my door. And they would have brought my McDonald's to me. But I'm not Lee Stone King, I'm just Matthew. I ate my cheeseburger, my quarter pounder, my french fries, drank all my shake, and ate the sundae. Rolled down the window and threw it out on the ground. I said, take that. And your planet too. You get there sometimes. Oh, you're a preacher. You're not supposed to. Hey, you cut me, it bleeds red. And I hurt deeply too. And I get frustrated. And I said, God, if you could just show up here and just let me feel you. Zero. Nothing. I put my car first gear. It's trucking down. And I get home. Someone's broken into my house. You ain't gonna believe it. The front door's caved in. They've stolen. We didn't have hardly anything worth anything. We had about $1,800 worth of electronics. And the damages they did to the door and stuff were about $700. I had $2,500. Now, that doesn't seem maybe like a lot of money to you, but when you've not got no money, $2,500 is a lot of money. $25. I'd spend hardly the last thing I had at McDonald's. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And there, laying in the doorway, that the mailbox dumped right into the entryway, were 2 letters face down. I looked at them and I thought, I remember thinking, guaranteed those are bills. And picked them up, and one of them was from Temple of Pentecost. I'd never received anything from Temple of Pentecost. The pastor I knew is Wayne Huntley, who's my favorite preacher. Well, I've never met Wayne Huntley. One time at General Conference, I got a selfie, kind of, you know, like stealth. He didn't even know we got a selfie, but we got a selfie. I was like, me and Wayne Huntley, you know. So he's like my hero. And I'm like, yeah, I bet he wants an offering. That's what I thought. And the other one, I had no return address. It was just a white envelope. So I put him in my pocket and I walked up the stairs and I sat down on the edge of my bed. And where are you? What are you doing? And I reached in. I said, well, I'll open Brother Huntley's first and get see what how much money he's wanting from me. And I ripped it open. And there was a handwritten note from Wayne Huntley, who I'd never met and didn't know me. He said, Brother Tuttle, so he knows my name. The Lord put your name in my heart today. I prayed for you. And I want you to know you're going to make it. You're not alone. All of a sudden, I felt something come over me. And the tears of anger turned into a tears of, I don't know what kind of tears they were. Maybe they were just salty tears. And then I opened the next letter from my dear friend, John Welch. He said, I was driving today. And the Lord said, I needed to send you $2,500. Well, that stuff doesn't happen to me, you know. There's a $2,500 check from my buddy, John. It was just like with the post-it note on it. You know what I mean? He don't talk a lot. And in that moment, crashed on me. I'm not forgotten. I'm not alone. There were no angels. There was no anything big. It was just the helpmeet. It was just somebody in the church that got a name in their head that wrote a little card that cost them 41 cents to mail that arrived on the day that was my worst day of my life. It was just a saint that got up out of their pew and came to the altar and laid their hands on the back of a teenager that was thinking about suicide. You got to realize, friend, you're not just here by accident. You're not just here by coincidence. You're not here by happenstance. It's not that you randomly selected this church because it met your standards. No, God divinely orchestrated your life so that you would be sitting on the pew you're at this morning, next to the person you're sitting next to, with the people surrounding you, so that you can be used by God. As we stand around all over the building, and I yield this microphone to your pastor, it would be appropriate if you stepped out from your pew or from where you were, not to come to the front, but just to step over to a brother with a brother and a sister with a sister. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel like. You need to be the body. You need to step over and just grab their hand or lay your hand on their shoulder. And I just want you to begin to pray with them and love them. Well, I don't know what to pray. Then you just start saying, Jesus. You just start say, I love you. Come on, pray for them. Pray a prayer over them that you want prayed over you. So pray your prayer. Whatever you prayed over your family this morning, over your kids, pray it over their kids. Dad, however you've been praying for your finances, Daddy, I want you to pray for their finances. Come on, teenager. Whatever blessing and relationship struggles you've been praying for, I want you to pray for that teenager. And as you begin to minister to each other, God is going to move. And as you're praying, I want to speak a word of unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let no discord come amongst you, Harvest Ministries. Let no seed of disunity disrupt the body. For in so doing, you have isolated somebody into thinking they're all by themselves. The devil would like to divide. The enemy would like to separate. But we are not the people of separation, whether it be of God and deities, or if it is of the people of God. We are one, both in our theology, and we are one in the body. We are one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, hell, the church is one. Oh, it's one Lord and one faith. It's one Father. It's one baptism. It's one church linked up for revival. Come on, lift your voices and let your neighbor hear you pray.